Good day and welcome back to the Help Me Understand podcast. This is the podcast where we honestly just ask the question, help me understand, and we grow from the amazing knowledge that's out in the field of education and beyond. And today, Talia is going to talk a little bit about joyful literacy. That's a new term for me, and I'm excited to learn some more. So help me understand what you do to bring joyful literacy to classrooms.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. So what we do at LitLife, and what I mean when I say joyful literacy, is a way for students to come into class feeling excited, feeling like they are seen, feeling like they are a part of a community during their literacy block. We talk about literacy as humankind's greatest invention, and storytelling really as the heart of literacy. And so for all of us, we all have stories, we all have our memories, we all have our life experiences, and that's why literacy was invented, was to share those experiences. So by allowing students to truly express themselves, by giving students mirrors and windows when they see themselves in characters and they see other ways that other folks live, brings about literacy the way it's meant to be, which is truly joyful and as a point of connection.
Yeah, one of my great friends a few years ago gave me a book by Christina Baldwin that's called Story Catchers. And it reshaped the way that I listened, the way that I noticed the world, and certainly this idea that we are all trying to capture stories both told and untold and verbal and nonverbal really resonates with me. And I think that if we can build a love of that in kids early on, you know, we see amazing things like StoryCorps, we see amazing things like The Great American Listen over Thanksgiving. I want kids to want to come tell their stories. And so how do you help teachers build the muscle to do that? Because there's some folks listening here, it's like, oh no, not another thing. How do we avoid that from happening?
That's a great question. So when we go into a school as the consultant, our most important thing and what we say off the bat is we are here to make teachers' lives easier and not harder. We're here to lift up roadblocks, not to put new ones in. And so really what we do is we start with the core of why everybody got into teaching. I mean, everyone is in teaching for reasons that are deeply personal to them. And sometimes we're in direct touch with it every day. And sometimes we need to be reminded why we entered this profession. And so, so what we do at LitLife is we just make sure that teachers are feeling back to basics, that they're feeling like, I want to go into my classroom and make sure that kids are happy, that they feel well taken care of, that they have something that they can relate to, that they are learning. And a lot of the time, what we hear after our PD sessions, because we teach the way we'd want to be taught, our PD sessions, folks are up and moving. They are interacting with others. They're learning from the group and not just from the one person up in front. And so at the end of that, we hear teachers saying, you know, this is sort of back to basics. This is why I started this work in the first place, was to bring about a safe and joyful and caring space for children in America. And so we really just open up the door for what people want to naturally do anyway.
Yeah, I find that no one says, I want to be a teacher so I can implement someone else's ideas. Right? Like, man, I can't wait to be an implementer all my life. No one says that, right? Like, the idea is that, you know, people are wanting to be creative souls. They want to be able to orchestrate. They want to be able to do all these other amazing verbs, help kids explore and discover. And I think that in so many of our elementary classrooms, literacy is the driving force and a very important piece of the puzzle. How are you helping people to expand what they know as literacy, right? I think that's another piece of the puzzle. Literacy continues to expand as a skill. How do you dovetail into that while you're still bringing joy to the work?
That's a great question. Yeah, literacy, the way that we define the way, you know, Webster and we define it, is really just meaning making. It's creating meaning. So you can be financially literate is a term that we hear a lot. You know, you can be mathematically literate. You can be literate in your kitchen. or not, you know,
as I am not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we try to broaden the definition of literacy to say, where are you already creating meaning in your classroom? Where are you already curious? What are you already thinking about that you want to learn more about? What students do you kind of want to study and get more literate in? And just understanding that literacy is really all around us to figure out what is going on with this thing. And that's why literacy was invented. That's why we continue to use literacy to read and write and speak and listen to find out more. Literacy is really around finding out more. So that translates to other content areas, absolutely. And it also translates when we're able to get teachers really curious about what they want to be more literate in, we find that will translate directly into classroom practice. So if you're extremely into, you know, this new recipe that you got, or if you're learning how you're getting your yoga teacher certification on the side, bringing those personal things into the classroom allows for students to get excited because you're excited about whatever it is that you're talking about. And it also reminds you of your humanity when you're in front of, you know, sometimes 35 5-year-olds. So.
Yeah, I'm just soaking in the idea of like just having moments where we are in present, where we're present with our own humanity. I like that. That's good. And then, so help me understand what this feels like and looks like for a student. You've been doing this long enough to where you have results. You have classrooms that are doing this and it's effective. Just help me understand what a student would say, what it would feel like and look like for a student.
Yeah, so for the way that we translate this into what we look for in students is we really want students to have a sense of identity around their reading. So our results, when we look for a school and we look at the end of the year, we are absolutely looking at, you know, did our scores go up? Did reading levels improve? Those are questions that, you know, typically the answer is yes. Over 95% of our schools improve in their reading scores and definitely in reading levels. But what we're looking for at LitLife and the data that we collect is really, do students have a sense of identity around their reading and writing lives? Do they know I'm the kind of reader who loves to read on the couch? I'm the kind of reader who prefers to be sitting up. I'm the kind of reader who loves to read comic books. I'm the kind of reader who loves to read informational text and always starts, you know, deep into it. I know that I don't have to read informational text straight through. You know, I look for facts when I'm reading. And so what we actually have something called the 7 Strengths rubric, which is a social emotional literacy rubric. What we find oftentimes in classroom practice is that if it's not in a rubric, it doesn't happen. so we put it together to really keep an eye on our students' reading identities, building throughout the year, our students' levels of enjoyment and engagement building throughout the year. When we ask them, what was the book that you read recently that you really loved, do they have an answer? Is there something that they really loved that they found with you all? Are students able to write about personal experiences? Do they have opportunities for oral language in the classroom? When was the last time you spoke to somebody about something you were really curious about? Who are some of your friends in the classroom? And so by asking these questions and really focusing in on the child's experience, it tells us a lot about the kind of teaching that will get us to well-informed, empowered, and passionate students.
I love that. And the idea about literacy being a communal experience, right? Like it goes to storytelling, it goes to meaning making, it goes to conversation and communication. And if we don't have folks in our classrooms that we feel comfortable talking about a book to, that's not good. But also if, you know, we don't have a chance to talk out loud about the things we're excited about. And I think that I see in many language arts classrooms with K to 12, we're not giving kids enough opportunity to be in discussion and dialogue and to present. And so I don't know if you're seeing the same, and maybe how you guys help to kind of break that mold a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So we really talk about oral language as, you know, you speak before you can write and you listen before you can read. right? So we're taking information, speaking and listening is really at the core of oral language. So we try to bring speaking and listening as to be as important. You know, it's tricky, but we do try to have it be as important as your reading and your writing skills, especially for kids who struggle with reading and writing. Chances are they have a much easier time speaking and listening. And so especially when working with middle schools and high schools, we really seek to give students time to verbally process. That's something that comes up a lot that feels really important. You know, are they able to answer their question out loud with someone else before they have to write it down in, you know, a paragraph form? And so that's something that we focus on. And then also thinking of, I don't know if this is exactly what you're asking, but really what we try to do is think about what is something that our students are going to be interested in and how do we make that fit within the curriculum? Not what is the curriculum telling me to teach you tomorrow, but who are my kids in front of me and how am I going to take this curriculum that I'm using and make it fit and be interesting and applicable to the students in front of me. And that doesn't mean, you know, changing out Shakespeare. Like, we still want our kids, all of our kids, to read the classics, but how can we make it more relevant? How can we compare it to things that students already know? You know, what are ways that we're bringing, if we're teaching this, it's for a reason. So how are we going to bring it into students' lives and make it directly applicable to them? You know, chances are, if you're in middle school, you've had someone that you've loved and lost, right? Or, you know, you've had these kind of forbidden crushes or whatever it is. That's Shakespeare. So not to say that we shouldn't be teaching the classics, but to say that whatever we're teaching has to be brought into students' experience so that they can feel it, so that they can learn it.
Yeah, I think I do a lot of adult learning, and if you aren't able to kind of horizontally connect what you're teaching to what's happening in someone's job, and it's not job embedded, then we're in that mode of being able to say that's where it sticks. So for kids, if they can't take what they're learning and embed it back into their life really quickly, a lot of that gets left on the wayside. And so so help me understand a little bit more about how this translates beyond 6.5 hours. Because I know that part of literacy is continuing to be a lifelong literacy, getting into families, getting into homes. How have you made that translation? And just kind of help me understand how this is a 24-hour sort of experience and how it becomes something that becomes like a lifelong experience for folks.
Oh, what a beautiful question. Yeah, we talk about literacy as 24/7, 365. So we do definitely some parent trainings, expanding our definition of literacy. So looking at the list in the grocery store and, you know, picking out the items on the list and crossing them off absolutely counts as literacy. You know, writing that Facebook message to your aunt to say happy birthday, you're writing an expressive piece. So so showing parents and family members really that this is something that you're doing and let's bring a little bit of intentionality to it. Often works for caregivers because the folks who take care of our students, I mean, like you said, we have them 6.5 hours a day and they have them the whole rest of their lives. So that family connection is extremely important, and showing families that what they're already doing and how to build off of it, as opposed to, you know, I know that you work many jobs, but I need you to read out loud for an hour when you get home, even if you get home after your kid's asleep, you know. So really making it realistic for families, meeting them where they are and allowing them to take their literacy practice in ways that work for them. And to your point of becoming a lifelong learner, what we've found is that when we concentrate first on those sort of softer, you know, for lack of a better term, skills like identity, empathy, goal setting, excitement around reading, curiosity around reading. When we concentrate on that first, we often see students, first of all, scores go up, which is great, but we also see students reporting higher levels of reading outside of the classroom. Your interest level, your identity level, your excitement level is directly related to how much you want to read to find out more information outside of the classroom. And if you know, if you're super interested in cars and you know that looking up cars on a website is literacy. It does count as nonfiction reading, and you are already doing it, then first of all, as a student, I'm going to feel much more empowered to say, yes, I am a reader. I'm not reading, you know, long fiction novels. I'm reading informational text about the things that I'm curious about, and that's how I like to read. And so really broadening our definition of literacy, having it be a big tent, right? A big umbrella for all of the ways that we make meaning in our lives, allows for students to see themselves as literate outside of the classroom. And it also allows for families to expand what they're already doing to build literate lives for their kids.
I love that. A couple final questions I would be remiss not to ask. What are you currently reading?
Ah, what a great question. So I just finished this great book. My husband works in books, so I think this book did not come out yet, but it's called Age of Vice, and it's about this really interesting, it's like a kind of a crime thriller about all of these various settlements in Delhi, India, and how all of the class systems are interacting with each other on a daily basis. And it was this big hunk of 800 pages. And I really feel like I just took a trip.
That's awesome. And hey, we need escape pieces, right?
Yeah.
For sure. So I'm finding myself multimodal with my literacy these days. I'm listening to a lot more books. I'm reading at the same time and reading digitally. So I still haven't figured out where I absorb what best, but that's okay. It's a journey. So final question, where do people find out more? I'll certainly put some things in the show notes, but where do you direct people to and how do they get started in partnership with you?
Great question. So you could find us on Twitter at LitLifePD, LITLIFE, like Literacy Life Professional Development. Our website is litlifepd.com. And my Twitter handle, if you ever want to chat, is at Talia Kovacs.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. And thanks for helping me to understand a little bit more of the joy of literacy and some of the amazing things you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me.